What's up, everyone? Noah Daniels here, the Real Hauntings Podcast. Just wanted to give a quick warning before this episode. It does include violence against an enslaved person in a dream. If that's something you'd rather not listen to, just go ahead and skip this episode, or maybe go back and check out one of our old episodes. We hope everybody's doing well during these kind of crazy times during the pandemic. And of course, we do appreciate you always supporting the podcast. What's up, everybody? This is Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast.
Hey everyone, and I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
And today we got a really exciting episode. A friend of our friend is calling in or zooming in. I guess everyone's using Zoom now.
Zoom, Zoom, Zoom.
Make my heart go boom, Zoom, boom. Okay. Disney is not a sponsor, but.
But they could be.
Today on the podcast, we've got Brian calling in. Brian, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing as well as you can during a global pandemic. But yeah, I'm doing all right.
What's like the weirdest thing you've done at home since this has all started? Like something you're like, I never thought I'd be doing this at my house.
Well, okay, kind of a cheat answer, but it is true because it is weird. So we called our landlord and we're like, hey, we are all working significantly less hours. Can we please not pay rent this month? And our landlord was like, here's what we'll do. We'll have you repaint your house because that would cost about as much as rent anyway. So we are now scraping all the paint off of our old house.
It's a weird landlord flex, but I guess better than the alternative.
You know, it's like, part of me is like, hey, like, you know, at least we don't have to pay rent this month and this is a thing we can do instead of being at work. But then another part of it's like, well, we're probably only getting paid like $6 an hour if you like.
Right. It just happens to be the same amount of rent. Well, hopefully your landlord is not a subscriber to our podcast. But if you are not Brian's landlord and you are not subscribed to our podcast, you should go ahead and hit that subscribe button. All right. So Brian, I'm wondering on a scale of 1 to 10, one,
or 0 to 10.
Or 0 to 10. Yeah. Let's do 0 to 10, everyone. 0 being absolutely, there's no way that ghost could possibly exist. 10 being, yes, ghosts completely, totally do exist, and I talk to them every day. Where would you put yourself on that scale?
Maybe like a 4 or a 5. I would say before I had this experience, probably like a 1 or a 0. And after, I would say like, yeah, like a 4 or a 5.
Cool. Yeah. So it's fair to say you're still a little skeptical after what you've experienced?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess it was during my gap year before I went to college. There was a girl that I was dating at the time, and her family owned a farm. And she essentially invited me out to this farm one night because, you know, it's a beautiful place. Look at the stars, yada, yada, yada. So I go there and I have like dinner with her family. And it's kind of like a large kind of party-ish gathering and it's kind of like a Southern cookout type of thing. And I should mention the farm is in like the middle of nowhere. It's like a little bit outside of Helen, Georgia. But if you've ever been to Helen, Georgia, you know that it's like that little gift shoppy type town and then just nothing in all directions for like 50 miles at least. So this town, this farm is like just totally in the middle of nowhere. And so we have the evening with the family and I go to sleep that night in a separate bedroom from my girlfriend at the time because, you know,
parents. Mm-hmm.
That night I have like maybe one of the worst dreams, worst nightmares I've ever had in my entire life, in which I remember being in the dream and like I'm in a kitchen and the first thing that I notice is that like, I don't know, like the implements of the kitchen aren't totally modern. There's a lot of like cast iron. There aren't any like electronics. It's just like, I don't know, very like wood and metal kind of everywhere. And I remember seeing that I was wearing like a coat that was like, it was like double-breasted. It had like buttons on the front. And I just remember walking into like from the kitchen into a bedroom. And there was a woman like laying on the bed and I like walked up to her and got on top of her and like strangled her. And it was horrifying. Yeah. Like, and the weirdest thing about it was that like, I've never, I guess if I think about like dreaming, like I've never done things in my dreams that I feel like I wouldn't do myself. Like even in the weird nature of dreams, it was like the only time I'd ever had a dream where I felt like I wasn't in control of what was happening. Which was like really spooky and terrifying. And so I woke up in a cold sweat, probably like 4 or 5 AM. And like wasn't able to get back to sleep and just essentially like grabbed a book and just read until the sun came out.
Was this woman in your dream someone that you knew?
No. Well, I mean, I feel like, I mean, that's one of those things they tell you about your brain, right? Is that you can't like make new faces. But I couldn't say that I like remembered her.
Do you often remember your dreams?
I don't know if I could answer that like more or less than other people. I definitely have a good number of dreams. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I never dream. But yeah, I would say I remember my dreams fairly often.
I feel like when there's really intense ones or reoccurring ones, I tend to remember my dreams a lot more than like if it was, because I definitely just have random ridiculous dreams all the time, but I can never recall. Like the I feel like the second I start explaining a dream within a minute, I'm just like, I cannot remember details. But there are some dreams where I can remember every detail.
Yeah. I've never really had recurring dreams before. I guess there's one, but it's like kind of like a known thing with like my teeth falling out, which is like.
I get that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's the worst. I mean, I'd rather have that as a recurring dream than strangling someone, but.
I'm glad that I'll probably never have a dream of strangling someone again, hopefully, you know?
Yeah.
And have you ever really had violent dreams like that?
I've only had, that I can remember, only one other dream where I was like committing violence that I can recall.
So not very often then.
No, yeah. I've had like violent dreams before, but it's always like things happening around me. And then the one that I had where I was like committing violence, it was like someone that I like thought was going to kill me. And I was like fighting
like
back.
A self-preservation kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
Did you end up asking about like the history of the house or bringing up this dream to anyone there?
So yeah, so what made me go from like, that was a terrifying nightmare to this was a supernatural experience was the next morning, I immediately went to my girlfriend at the time and said like, I just had a really horrible dream. And she kind of looked at me, I guess like almost disappointed that she had to talk about it or like ashamed, I guess, because it kind of looked like she knew it was going to happen. But she said, before I was even just like able to tell her what it was, he was like, you had a dream that you like you strangled a woman, right?
Wow.
And, like, yeah. And immediately weirded out and like wanted to leave. And she went on to tell me that like, yeah, like everyone who sleeps in this house for the first time has that dream.
What?
Oh my God.
Does she remember having that dream?
I guess I didn't ask her. I guess I just assumed that she'd had it. But I mean, the house had been in her family for a really long time, so she probably would have had the dream when she was like 2 or 3 years old. But I guess I didn't ask about her experience with it.
What did you feel like when she immediately knew what you had dreamt? What was that like?
Definitely like, I mean, super surreal. I guess like my first emotional response was like, I was mad that she would not warn me beforehand, but then at the same time I was like, well, I wouldn't have believed her. You know, I would have like said that she was crazy if she told me that would happen the night before. I mean, maybe not. I might have entertained it a little bit, but I definitely wouldn't have put much stock into it.
I
would have been, I like, if I had been in those shoes and someone had told me you're gonna dream this thing and then I dreamt it, I would have just shaken it off as like, oh well, they put that in my head, so.
Right, true.
And was she able to give any reasoning as to why people have been having these dreams in the house?
So her working theory, and if I remember correctly, like I wanted to talk to other people in the house about it. And she was like, do not bring it up. like seriously, people will get like, especially her grandparents would get really angry and defensive and probably want me to leave. And she like had said that she had tried to ask them about it. And it was like very much like a like lips sealed. You've brought up a taboo subject. But her theory was that like it was like, because the place used to be a plantation. It now, I think, is mostly just a place where like wedding photography happens, essentially. It's this beautiful little farm in the middle of nowhere where it's weddings and events like that. But yeah, so her working theory was that it was a slave that had lived on that plantation that was killed by one of the
plantation owners.
Yeah, that would be the.
It's really interesting, though, that her family kind of has a no-talk policy about it. That makes me, like, 10 times more curious about what happened there.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, too, is, like, I feel like my honest guess would be that they probably don't know much about it. They probably don't know much of the family history and, like, don't want to think about what it means, I guess, especially since the farm is still in their family, you know? What?
Was the farm in their family like back in that time?
I actually don't know. Yeah, I didn't ask.
In the dream, did anybody talk to you or was it just the violence that took place?
Yeah, I mean, let me think through it. I mean, the weird thing too is like remembering it so many times and telling the story so many times, like I wonder if I'm beginning to edit it, you know?
Yeah, you get that.
Honestly, like, as far as I remember, it was just like, it was really short. It was just like the weirdness of feeling like I was in a different time and then like the act of violence. And that's really all that I remember.
And yeah. since that time, have you had any other supernatural experiences or is that the only one you've had?
No, that's pretty much the only one. Yeah, I lived in a house last year that one of the people who lived there before I moved in insisted was haunted and I never experienced anything.
Yeah, so, I feel like that's my experience with stuff like this. People are like, this will happen, and never does.
Brian, did you ever get to speak to anyone else who had stayed at that house and had experienced that dream?
No. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Yeah, there's nobody else. I was actually there one time, like since, and I was hanging out with her and my ex-girlfriend and the person that she was dating at the time, and I actually really wanted to ask him because I assumed that he had probably spent the night there before. I wanted to ask him about it, but I didn't because I felt like it would have been weird. But that's the only person I can think of that would have been another person who'd experienced it outside of the family.
Yeah. If this did happen in real life to this woman, I kind of think this is just like an oddly incredible way to send a message about her injustice and letting that live on.
Yeah.
Sounds horrible.
Well, I guess like the weird thing about it is that it's like, it's pretty easily interpretable in a way. Because I feel like most like supernatural activity is like impossible to decipher, you know? It's like, ooh, there's a dark shadow or noises are being made. And I guess like makes experience really strange is that like it feels like there's a story that you can see, you know?
How many nights did you stay in that room?
It was just the one night. Yeah.
Did you ever go back to that house?
Yeah. I mean, I visited her two or three times.
That never happened again?
I mean, no, I never spent the night there again.
Oh, okay.
And have you ever had night terrors before?
I've had sleep paralysis before. I've never had like.
Can you explain your sleep paralysis? We've talked about it before on episodes, but it almost feels like everyone experiences it a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, I had like one really bad bout of it towards the end of my senior year, like last year. Yeah, the weirdest thing for me that I feel like is maybe different from the way that other people experience it is that like I still feel like I can move. It's just that my body won't move. So the weirdest thing I remember experiencing is like I remember rolling over or like closing my eyes when I was kind of in a state of sleep paralysis and rolling over and opening my eyes and my vision still being the way that my body was laying, but the sensation in my body feeling like I was facing the other direction, which was really freaky.
Good.
Yeah. And then just the hallucinations I got was the scariest one. I mean, most of it was like auditory, like voices kind of overlapping and like whispering in like a threatening way. And then like shadow figures kind of moving just out of my vision. But the worst one was definitely one time when I was looking at my door, which was open, and it looked like three kind of really thick, like strands of hair almost started like entering the room, kind of like floating. And then they like wrapped around each other and like started moving towards me. Mm-hmm. And that was to freak me out enough that I like actually woke up at that point.
Oh my God. What do you think made your sleep paralysis stop? Did you have a major change in your life or anything?
I honestly think it was just, sleeping better. I think during that period of my life, I was drinking a good amount, which I know like interferes with sleep. And yeah, I just wasn't sleeping enough. So I feel like that's probably what stopped it. I haven't had it honestly since then.
Yeah, I used to get where I would see like spiders dropping down, and I haven't had that happen in a really long time. But then I realized it was kind of connected to anxiety. And actually last night or this morning, because I have a baby, so I'm up super late. But this morning when I was asleep, within like that first 30, 45 minutes of sleep, I had sleep paralysis and saw a giant black spider dropping down to like my stomach area. But I've had it happen so many times that I was just like, there's no way this is real. And I just waited it out. And then I just like, I guess blinked awake and I was like, all right, that's not real. But
so it happened enough times that it didn't scare you?
Doesn't scare me anymore. No, but I did kill a big spider in our house the other day. So I was like, man, is this a real, and I was like, there's no way, it's huge. And the room is too dark. I wouldn't be able to see it. It bummed me out that it happened again, because I know it's the stress from the pandemic and having a 6 week old during the pandemic and just, you know, everything else we're all dealing with. So that was kind of a bummer to know that that's something else I might have to deal with through like June or September.
When did it come back?
This morning, first time in probably a couple years.
I think also like having lack of sleep can bring on those sleep paralysis moments. It happens to me the most during naps. Also, I loved, Noah, that you said spiders come down to my stomach area.
Well, I don't know if it was like my chest or my stomach, but like, you know, in that range, but it was huge. It was like the size of like my fist, like dropping down. And then it was just like legs. That's the thing I most remember seeing. It's just like the size of a fist, pure black with legs. And yeah, it wasn't fun.
I want to just quickly jump back to this dream you had at your ex-girlfriend's house, you know, and I know it's hard to trust whether, you know, your memory is like totally accurate to that point or whether your mind's like kind of filling in certain details, but you mentioned the kitchen not having like anything modern, but was there anything in there that was recognizable to the house you were currently staying in?
I want to say yes, just because like that works with the story. But I feel like, I mean, all I really remember was like kind of like wooden counters and like a rack with like pans hanging from it.
Mm-hmm.
Over like a basin, I guess. And the thing, like the house or like the farm, there's like two or three different buildings. There was like one that's like kind of like your classic big red barn photo shoots. And then the main house, which is where I was sleeping. And then there was kind of like a second house, which was just like space, like kind of like a living room space over a garage, essentially. And in the main building, it was very like modern, like a granite island in the kitchen and like really new ovens and like an electric stovetop. So like, I don't know that I would have been able to recognize it as that house, you know?
Right. Was there anything in the house that like led you to believe that like, oh, this was probably the slave entryway or the slave quarters or something back then?
I feel like it was I feel like it's probably been renovated extensively.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if, I honestly don't know if part of the property has been rebuilt. I don't know what the original building was. I would assume that it's like the main kind of house in the center, but I mean, it could have been the barn or yeah. So I'm not totally sure, you know?
Mm-hmm. And this is just more out of curiosity for me, but do you think your ex-girlfriend would be willing to talk about this too? Or does she kind of like follow the family rule of see no evil, say no evil?
I have not spoken to her in like 2 years. I kind of wouldn't, I mean, there's no like bad blood or anything, but I kind of wouldn't want my reaching out to her to be about this.
Tipping out her ghost story.
I possibly say, hey, how are you doing? And maybe loop it back to the to the ghost story.
Hey, how are you doing? Remember when I choked that slave in my dream? You want to come on and talk about it?
Oh, my goodness.
I guess, yeah, that's what I haven't thought of. I kind of hope she doesn't hear this because then it's also like, you didn't ask me if you could tell that story.
Yeah, I keep wanting, I've been looking up like possible locations and all I have is North Georgia, probably Cleveland, wedding venue. It's a farm.
I probably said too much.
It's okay. I should have been a detective.
So Brian, after this happened, you said that, or rather before this happened, you said you weren't really a believer in the supernatural. And then after this happened, it kind of took you to like a midway point. Since that has happened though, has it made you more likely to believe in psychics and, you know, dream interpreters or things that are kind of on the fringe that involve dreams and visions and things of that nature?
I guess here's what I'll say about that. I am much more likely to believe people's experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still just as unlikely to believe people that say that they have some kind of access to that. You know, psychics and dream readers and whatever. People that are honestly able to like monetize the occult or the supernatural, I never have and probably never will take with much seriousness. Yeah, I guess I would say that like if someone told me this thing happened to me, I'd be more likely to believe them. But yep, that's about as it goes.
Mm.
Like I don't really even believe in ghosts that much. I just believe that there are things that we don't understand about what happens when people die.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, and articulate it. Yeah.
Almost like there's kind of like an energy that like stays in a place after someone passes.
This is usually my spiel, but yeah. Now I'm resident skeptic JJ is taking on my
Well, Brian, are you still doing improv or performing or?
So I'm doing an acting apprenticeship at Horizon Theater right now. Was really fun until the pandemic, but it's been great. We've been like Zoom classing and whatnot. Wanting to get back into improv.
Brian, if our listeners wanted to get in touch with you, do you want to give out your Instagram or something where they can follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter. I think I'm at Brian Chouinard 1, and then my handle is The Abisk.
We're gonna follow you.
Brian, I'm wondering, because you said you're still like somewhat skeptical. I mean, a 4 is, you know, like kind of down on the skeptic end of the spectrum. So do you have any kind of alternative explanations as to what happened to you that don't involve the supernatural?
I mean, I guess it's very possible that she was fucking with me and she really just happened. I feel like that's just not the case because she was dead serious about it.
Yeah. It would make sense why she's like, don't talk to my family about this.
Right.
But and then like how she would be able to know your dream. I mean, that doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's a hard one.
The first thing you jump to is like you saw something scary, not like you did something scary.
Right.
Which is very specific. Honestly, no, I don't have like a good, especially because dreams are so inscrutable already anyways.
Yeah.
I don't have a good explanation. Yeah.
Well, Noah, Kat, do you guys have any skeptical explanations to what happened, or has this moved you further along the needle?
I love all the dream stuff. I've probably said that before. I think it's because I'm such a vivid dreamer, and every now and then I have a lucid dream, which always blows my mind a little bit. I've been fortunate enough or unfortunate enough to see dead people in dreams and talk to people that have died. And, you know, even though I've had those experiences, I don't necessarily think it's anything more than just a dream. You know, I mean, it's interesting. And sometimes, especially getting to see people who have just passed, it's comforting. But I think that's just a way of myself comforting myself. But dreams like this, which we just, LC's episode that is up now, she talked about people having the same dream. And we've also had that again on the episode where they were on like a church mission trip. Several people shared the same kind of demonic dream. That's really fascinating to me. And it's kind of unexplainable other than supernatural. I don't know how you could have that like-minded experience. I've had dreams where I dream something and then it's happened that next day, which that's another thing that I can't really explain. I just know that it's happened. So dream stuff is pretty cool. I think I'm still sitting in that kind of 5-6 margin out of 10. I'm certainly open to supernatural. I guess for me, not being able to explain something makes it hard for me to say I believe in it. So that's kind of where I'm still at. Until I physically can tangibly see or touch a supernatural being, which I don't necessarily want to happen. I think that's probably where I will sit. What about you, Kat?
I think I'm like more and more convincing myself that our human minds have just created this like explanation for things that are beyond our comprehension. So we call them ghosts and we call them like, we're being haunted by this. And honestly, we've been watching so many like nature documentaries about space and about just the ocean and nature and like, there's so many insane things out there that we just like can't comprehend. And so the concept of just like things still remaining here that were part of something that once was alive, like I am more willing to accept versus like there's this whole other world where people are like trying to enter. And maybe there are people that can kind of like feel and read that energy more. I don't think they're necessarily communicating with dead people though. Does that make sense? I definitely feel like I'm able to explain how I'm inferring everything, I guess.
I always feel like that too until we have a psychic or medium on and they just start like dropping truth bombs on us. And we're like, it's 100% real, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. We're getting somewhere though.
JJ, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm going to do something rare. I think I said I was a 5 in the last episode. I'm going to say I'm a 6 now.
What?
And I like these kind of dream stories are easier for me to wrap my head around. Like when someone says like, and then this glass vase flew off the shelf and shattered on the wall across the room. I'm like, oh my gosh, that would for sure have me believing in ghosts, or like, you know, make me questioning everything that I see. Because it's like so fantastical and seems so out of the realm of possibilities. It makes me, you know, think, okay, something's not right here. But like when it's something as simple as, you know, a crazy dream, which we all experience, but then, you know, someone knows exactly what it is that you dreamed and other people have experienced that dream, you know, maybe it doesn't make me believe in ghosts more, but it makes me believe that there's a lot more things that are possible that we don't know about. And maybe there's something about like maybe places can retain memories or something. Yeah.
I mean, we stare up at a dark starry sky, which is like a bunch of dead sparkly things. I mean,
Yeah.
Is that a whole nother topic or episode?
I wish y'all could see JJ's face on the Zoom when Kat said that.
You're just like, okay. Well, I'm serious.
Ghosts are actually ghosts. That's a hot take.
Guys, we're already dead.
Oh my God.
Well, give us a
like
couple
the
months.
End of The Sixth Sense, except we're all Bruce Willis.
Okay, spoiler alert.
That movie has been out for...
I still have not seen Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah. No, Kat. You guys have homework to do. That's unacceptable.
Don't make me watch it.
One of the best reveals ever. All right. Well, Brian, is there any last words you want to leave with our audience before we get you out of here?
Yeah. Not that I can think of. Thanks for having me on. This was really fun.
Well, yeah, thanks for coming on. Yeah, absolutely. All right. With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ Crable.
I'm Kat.
Ooh.